Rogue Angel Provenance is a Graphic Audio production. Rogue Angel trademark owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 2008, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2008, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Peter Stray, Jeff Baker, James Konacek, Terrence Aselford, Richard Rowan, David Coyne, James Lewis, Thomas Penny, Andy Clements, Dylan Lynch, Dolores King-Williams, Karen Carbone, and Ken Jackson. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Featuring additional original music by Brian Patton and Dan Smith. Book adapted for graphic audio by Matt Jacobs. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for Simon R. Green's Deathstalker series, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
The Serrano Legacy, Book 2. Sporting Chance, Part 2.
Once the enemy ships began their stalk, Harris gave no further thought to her passengers. At the end, if capture seemed likely, she'd make sure they didn't suffer. But now she had a battle to fight. Maybe.
How far do we have to go before we can jump?
A long way. My first approximation is over 7 hours. Things got moons as massive as your average planet. We don't want to be wrong.
Fine. Keep an eye on it. Arcadi, what are we facing?
Right now, just two. But of course, our scans are skewed at this relative velocity. Looks like they knew what vector to expect for our insertion, but not how much V we'd have on us. They're running parallel and catching up. And no, we can't outrun them. Not if they're the usual CH cruiser weight.
He transferred his scan data to her display.
You can see the weaponry. All hot and ready to fire. Want me to bring them up? I don't think it's enough to scare them off, but...
No, we can't bluff. But maybe we can surprise them when it counts.
Harris glanced over at his boards, where the status lights showed ship's weapons as strings of green lights, each column tipped with one yellow.
I wonder why they didn't take us when we dropped out. The logical thing for them to do was blow us away. No one knew we would be inside Benignity space. And if they did know, they'd shrug and go, oops. If we quietly disappear, it solves a lot of problems for some powerful people.
I'd be glad to quietly disappear if I could figure out how. Vivi, pull up this section in Shermer's Atlas, will you? Maybe they've got something.
Yes, sir.
Harris watched as Skoderin picked her way around the backup navigation board, punching first one key, then another. Slow, of course, she didn't know the board well, it wasn't her specialty. If only Sirkin, the good Sirkin, had been there. But no use wishing.
What the...
Son of a...
Suddenly, Janice and Mahari both started tapping at their boards.
What?
Harris could see from here that the weapons boards had changed color. Green lights had gone orange. The yellow lights at the top had gone to blue. The system was locked down, non-functional. Petrus turned to glare at Harris.
Damn her. What do you want to bet she had a control tab to her quarters?
No bet. Go down there and... And what? Kill her? Get it fixed. Call Mr. Guar to the bridge, Oblo. You need more experienced help. Skoderin, get back to Mr. Haidar and tell him to unlock the small arms. Bring us each a weapon and start stacking the excess in the corridor. Here's the key wand for the weapons locker.
Yes, Captain.
Skoderin hurried away. Petrus grabbed a toolkit off the bulkhead and followed her.
They stripped our beacon. Maybe they wanted to be sure they had the right ship.
Maybe.
Harris, Sirkin isn't in her quarters, and I can't find any control tab. She might have been somewhere else when you locked the doors.
Harris tried to remember if she'd actually checked the personal monitors to confirm Sirkin's location. She didn't know.
Or she might have gotten out. If she's been planning this, she might have key wands.
Janice sat up from the deck under his control boards.
I'm not finding a hard tap. Not one single thread that shouldn't be here. Of course, a directed magnetic pulse could do that, but it would have to be close.
A control override would work, anywhere between here and the weapons themselves.
Mahari, too, was half under her console, prodding at things.
But not on this ship. It's not like a ship designed for fighting. We had no regional alternative nodes. Remember how we had to route the cables all over the place? To knock the whole board down like that, it'd have to be intercepting signals pretty high up. which ought to show as an additional cable or be a pulse signal from somewhere on the bridge.
Meharry's face popped up from beneath her console.
Mine's clean. I see what you mean, Arkady. We put in that shielding. If it's pulse, it has to be on the bridge somewhere.
What about a secondary? Something exterior to signal a controller on the bridge through the regular optical cables and set off a pulse signal?
Might be complicated, though. Doesn't always work even on our ships. What's Sirkin's secondary training?
She could do it. I had her crawling through all the computer controls on the first voyage. She knows as much about this ship's electrical and electronic layout as I do. The only thing she might not know is the weapon systems you installed when she wasn't aboard.
Intruder, familiar ship Harper Valley.
Just in case we didn't know who we were. Now what, Captain?
Well, they didn't blow us away straight off. Let's see what they do with this. Send them a voice burst, just as we did with Levati.
That might buy a few seconds, but they needed hours. She got back on the intercom.
Petrus, better link with Skoderin and get yourself a weapon. Wherever Sirkin is, she might be dangerous.
Right.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.